Welcome to St. Philip's Chapel Street. You are listening to an audio podcast of our Sunday Preach. We really hope it encourages you and draws you closer to Jesus. If you want to know more about St. Philip's, you can find us online at stphillips.org.uk or on social media at SP Chapel Street.
The last few weeks or probably months now, you'll know we've been going through this series called God's Big Story, looking at the kind of big picture of what it means to be a Christian, the kind of threads that go through the Bible that help us to see how God is at work through all of that and still today. And today we're going to think about how we as disciples of Jesus are shaped by that narrative that we see of creation, decreation, and recreation. We talk a lot in church about wanting to see our culture shifting or renewal, maybe, and we come up with all kinds of strategies that maybe we could use to do that. But when we look at this big story and consider what it is to be a disciple, it's only if we commit to following the way, to becoming more like Jesus, listening to the Spirit and following the lead of him, that we start to see our culture shift. So to help us think a bit more about that, we're going to look at a passage from Ephesians, and one of the letters that Paul wrote. So if you want to follow along with me, we're in chapter 5, starting at verse 1. There are Bibles at the back if you want one. I'll give you a moment. I can see lots of tapping going on. Okay, so, starting at verse 1. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality, or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a person as an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It's shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, "Wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we think of ourselves as disciples of Jesus, and that word disciple just means like a follower or maybe like a student or an apprentice, trying to become like the person that you are discipled to. What does it mean to be a disciple of Jesus? And we use that word discipleship a lot in church as well. I wonder whether some of what we consider as maybe like priorities of discipleship have gone a little bit wrong. Our first is, discipleship isn't just about knowing stuff. We heard in verse 8 that we undergo this transformation from darkness to light. And that's a process that can't just happen in our minds. We can't just learn stuff and then have a change in our thinking and that's it, we're all sorted. It's a transformation of our very deepest desires. And as great as information is, maybe you know your Bible like back to front, inside out. You can pull out verses all over the place, or you might have loads of historical knowledge. That's great, but that information can't be transforming us. It can't help us in that process. We can't just focus on knowing stuff about Jesus as disciples, but on being with him. And as we do that, becoming more like him and learning how to do the stuff that he did. So as followers of Jesus, our top priority should just be to be with him. Maybe you know the story in Luke's gospel of Martha and Mary, two sisters. Jesus turned up at their house to visit them. They had quite different responses to their guest. Martha, I think it's fair to say, she gets in a bit of a flap. She's tidying up. She's probably cooking. She wants to make Jesus feel really welcome in her home, but she's distracted by doing all this stuff. As Mary, her sister, sits at the feet of Jesus, listens to what it is that he has to say, just spends time in his presence. Martha gets quite annoyed, comes to Jesus and is like, she's left me to do all of this on my own. Are you not going to tell her off? Jesus says to Martha, like, stop worrying. Mary has made the better choice here. She's sat with me and listened to me. She's enjoyed my presence. I don't know whether you identify with Martha or Mary more in that story. I'm definitely a Martha. I'll like rate a day in terms of how productive I've been. I'm not great at sitting still and not doing much. As disciples of Jesus, I wonder what our priorities are. Is it to be productive, maybe read loads of books or listen to podcasts? Or is it just to spend time in the presence of Jesus? This week, I was reminded, thanks to social media, that it was 8 years since I passed my driving test. I didn't pass on the first attempt. First time, forgot to give way at a roundabout. We've all done it. Probably still do it today. Second time, I could not reverse around a corner. You know, one of those maneuvers they make you learn? It's actually not in a driving test anymore, I found out. Probably because no one ever actually uses it after that test. Who thinks I must reverse around this corner perfectly? You don't. The third time was so traumatizing, I don't actually remember what happened, but I failed again. A fourth time was a charm. I still remember those first few weeks and months of driving around on my own, being really conscious of every gear change and checking my mirrors all the time. Felt like I couldn't concentrate on anything else but driving this car. And now, 8 years later, I don't know if you make a journey sometimes and think, like, how did I get here? Did I go through a red light, maybe? Some comments are made on the quality of my driving, but I think it's fine. Nothing bad happened. It's like a second nature to me now. I've learned that skill, and it's just a part of my day-to-day life. When we spend time with Jesus, like spending time with anyone, you maybe start to pick up little phrases that they say or habits that they have. When we spend time in the presence of Jesus, we become more like him and we start to do the things that he did. It's not an overnight transformation, it's a process of learning, maybe kind of imitating as we start, but it becomes a second nature to us. So it's not just about knowing stuff, gaining information, but about spending time in the presence of Jesus. Discipleship isn't just about being good either. We heard in this first verse that we follow God's example. We're formed into the character of Christ. We walk in the way of love. But being a disciple isn't just about doing the right thing so that we become a better person as we do that. But our characters are shaped and formed as we go on this journey of partnering with Jesus. So we don't just have to be good for the sake of it or because we feel like we have to, but we can live a life where we make choices to maybe deny ourselves of things which seem like they're good, But actually, we can choose to give those up for something even better. In Ephesians, we read about sexual immorality, greed, obscenity, foolish talk, coarse joking, debauchery. And we can make choices to say no to those things so that we can say yes to Jesus. We can choose to be disciplined as we are disciples. I don't know what that word discipline brings up for you. Maybe it feels like a bit of a harsh word. But those two words, discipline and disciple, they come from the same root word in Latin, which I won't try and pronounce, but it means to learn. And so discipline in this way is to make choices that help us to learn as we put into practice those things which we know are good for us and say no to the things that we know are not good. Making choices that help to redirect our desires towards the kingdom, that help us to live wisely and as children of the light. So we can discipline ourselves, not because we feel like we need to be good people or that we have to follow this set of rules, but so that we can give ourselves fully to Jesus. Maybe in the same way that we think of disciplines like exercising and getting enough sleep and eating breakfast, those choices and disciplines that we put into practice because we know that they're for our own good. So if we have those practices, those disciplines that kind of empty us of things that are not good, we can be filled again by taking on different disciplines that Jesus models to us. If we're learning to be a disciple of Jesus, we can look to him as an example. Things like studying scripture, worshiping, prayer, evangelism, being part of a community. Sometimes we just feel too busy to fully give ourselves to doing those things. But if we think of this process of transformation, of taking on some disciplines, giving other things up, it's almost like breathing out and breathing in, like this rhythm of life that just becomes like our nature as we practice and learn. Discipleship isn't just about being nice or doing good deeds. We are definitely called to do those things, particularly in a world where we see so much hurt and brokenness at the moment. All the time we're hearing in the news of people in really desperate situations that need our help. But it's not good deeds that change the world. It's the life and death and resurrection of Jesus that does the real transformation. So if that's what we know, if we are transformed by that ourselves, then out of that we can take action, do good things to help other people, but not just for the sake of it or because that's what we think Christians do, but because it is in our very nature. We know that it's from a place of knowing the eternal hope that the resurrection offers us. In 1 Peter, in 3, verse 15, it says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. You didn't think that I could do a talk and not mention the climate at some point, so here we go. People often ask me why it is I care about the climate so much, or what makes it any different to someone who doesn't know Jesus but just likes the planet and cares about it anyway. What is it that makes you so passionate about this? And for me, I have to think about that regularly, but it always comes back to hope. I think that's the key difference for me, that I have this hope in a God who wants to see the earth restored. And no matter how bleak things look, I can always come back to that. I wonder whether you feel prepared to give an answer for the hope that you have. So yes, we should absolutely be demonstrating God's love for his people in loads of different ways. But our discipleship to Jesus has to be about more than just taking action for the common good, because that's what people expect Christians to do. So if discipleship is not just knowing stuff about Jesus, if it's not just about being good because that's what we're told to do, if it's not about doing good because that's what people expect of us, well, what is it that we are trying to do? I think that discipleship is about dying to ourselves and then rising with Christ. We're shaped by that story of Easter. We'll celebrate in a few weeks. We go on a journey. And as we go on that journey, that transforming process, we develop some key characteristics that people can notice about us as disciples. The first key characteristic is compassion. That word means to suffer with or alongside, to be moved to action. And God shows us this ultimate example of compassion, stepping down into the mess of a broken world, into the de-creation. John chapter 1 is probably up there with my favorite chapters in the Bible. And in the Message version, it's talking about Jesus coming down to earth. It says, the Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus came to be alongside us in order to recreate us. He came to suffer with us, to comfort us, to sit with us in the hurt and the brokenness, and then to offer us freedom. God fully understands what it is to go through really difficult times in life, and he sits with us in that hurt. He wants to experience that with us. But as disciples, when our desires become redirected as we pursue Jesus, we move towards the hurt that we see in the world as we're imitating what it is that Jesus did. And we suffer alongside others, sit with them in the brokenness that they're in. Things like the Sustain Project, working with vulnerable women, moving towards those places of hurt and just sitting with those women, spending time with them, offering comfort where we can, whether that's emotional comfort or practical comfort. We do what we can as compassionate followers of Jesus. Being compassionate also means pointing people towards the freedom that we are offered by this God who stepped down into the mess of decreation. It's really easy to just become quite comfortable followers of Jesus, just going through the motions Sunday after Sunday, week after week, year after year. We know what we're doing. But as disciples of Jesus, we're called to be courageous. We can't just sit in these four walls doing our own thing and hoping that everything out there will be okay in the end. If you were here last week, Ags shared a picture with us that she had of the cross at the back here in the center and blood flowing from that cross. She felt that God was saying we had to get on our knees. If it's the renewal of our culture that we want to see, then it's renewal that flows from the cross. And that should be placed front and center of all it is that we do. And so we start on our knees, giving it to God. I think as disciples, we're then called to get up and do something, to take steps of courage, steps of faith in our day-to-day lives. And maybe we're inspired by others to take those little baby steps of courage. I was reminded this week of a story that Georgina told me. You might know Georgina. She leads a Connect group with me. She's on the welcome team sometimes. She's not here today, but that's okay. And she told me a few months ago that she went to a conference with work. She was with loads of people, like really senior to her, so she was pretty intimidated by the whole thing. And she had to share something that was important to her. As you know, there's like horrible icebreaker activities. And she decided that she was going to share with this room full of people about her faith. And she was really nervous to do that. She wasn't sure what the reaction would be. I was so inspired by that step of courage to stand up and share with her colleagues what it is that is important to her. So I wonder whether in this week you could find opportunities to be courageous as a disciple of Jesus. So we're called to be compassionate. We're called to have courage. But Jesus, who stepped out of creation down into decreation, also brings us the promise of recreation. And as disciples, we are partners in that creation, the new creation, God's mission to make all things new, whether things on earth or things in heaven, as it says in Colossians 1. So that means as disciples, we are creative. I quite literally was not allowed to take GCSE art when I was picking my options. I am not a creative person in the slightest. But as people made in the image of God, we have the nature and character of God embedded within every cell of our body. That means that we have the creativity of a God who made all it is that we see, the depths of the ocean, right out into the far-flung places in outer space. That creativity to make all of that is part of us. So how do we use creativity in all it is that we do? I've got a background in science, which perhaps you think of as a fairly uncreative field. I listened to a lecture last year by someone called Tom McLeish. He's a physicist. He's also a theologian. He's brilliant at speaking. And he spoke about how he feels like in science we need to bring imagination back into the center. That really what science is about is imagining something that might be true about the world, dreaming what it could be, and then going on a journey to try and figure out whether that is true or not. So I wonder how we can use creativity to be imagining what God might be doing. How might God be wanting to restore and renew Salford or Greater Manchester or beyond that? How do we use creativity as disciples to join in with that? So our first priority, as we're following the way, as we disciple ourselves to Jesus, is to spend time with him. So that as we spend time in his presence, we become more like him. We start to do the stuff that he does. And as we go on that journey, we are transformed into disciples that are compassionate, courageous, and creative, who bring about transformation and restoration in every place and situation that we find ourselves in. I'm going to get Lizzie to come up in a moment and pray as we consider how we might respond to that. I don't know whether for you this morning it's maybe letting go of some of those expectations we have around being disciples. Maybe it's letting the burden of feeling like we need to know loads of stuff or be good and follow the rules or do loads of good deeds. Maybe it's taking some of that burden off. Maybe it's about stepping into those characteristics of creativity and courage and compassion.
Thank you for listening. If you want to respond or talk through anything in this preach, please feel free to email hello@stphillips.org.uk, and we would love to help you in any way we can. God bless you.